John chapter 8, verses 31 to 38. And you will find this on your Pew Bible in the ESV version on page, 894. Page 894, John chapter 8, verse 31 to 38. The truth will set you free. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father." This is the word of God.
Thanks, Peter. Good morning, CCP family. We well this morning. Friend, it is good to see you all this morning. My name is Mxolisi Ngiba. I'm one of the ministers here at CCP, if you do not know me. And we will spend the rest of our time this morning in that passage that was just read for us now by Peter. But before we do that, I'd like us to pray and ask God to help us with his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for the hope it brings in this hopeless world. I pray that we may once again this morning meet this gospel, the gospel of the good news, in this passage it was read for us. May Jesus be who we see clearly this morning. Please, Lord, remind us why he is so important and so precious to all of us, so that we can continue to put our faith in him. Amen. A well-known evangelist, John MacArthur, who's also a book writer, he wrote a book titled Truth Wars. In this book, he says something profound in his introduction. He says, the greatest battle in the world is the battle for the truth. Just think about that. The greatest battle in the world is the battle for the truth. And I think I agree with MacArthur here. Yes, there are so many battles in the world, as you will agree with me. To name a few, you've got political battles. You've got battles that are religious in their natures. You've got battles that are cultural and social in their nature. But I agree with MacArthur that the greatest of them all is the battle for the truth. We all want to know the truth. We as human beings, all of us, we want to hold on something that is true. Nobody wants to be told that they believe in a lie. And this is the reason why today you have what is called my truth. Have you ever heard about that? People claiming that they have their own truth. My truth is what people believe to be true based on their perspective, based on their experiences and based on their personal feelings at that time. Right? It is true because I feel it is true. It is true because it is true in my experience. That's what makes the truth. This way of thinking says we all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different families. We have different upbringing. And we have different experiences. So we're not going to see things the same, right? What is true to you might not be true to me. Now, before you stone me to death, I want to say that this is sometimes true. Sometimes this is true to some extent. There are things we will not see the same because of our upbringing and cultures and experiences and all of those things. But also, sometimes this is not true. Sometimes this is the kind of thing that we say to reject the truth when we do not want the truth. And when we do that, the message we are communicating is the truth cannot stand on its own. Truth needs to be accompanied by my perspective, by my experience, by how I feel. Isn't that wrong? And sadly, this is how people want to live their lives today. They want to live their lives with their own truth, not the truth, not God's truth. Because nobody wants to be told that they got it wrong. We want to live life according to our truth. But my aim this morning is to convince you, friends, from God's word, that God's truth matters. That's our title this morning. God's truth matters more than your truth. It matters more than my truth. It matters more than your experience. It matters more than your emotions. It matters more than your feelings. God's truth matters. Why? Because God's truth is what sets you free. That is our first point for this morning. God's truth sets you free. That's going to come in verses 31 to 32. Look at those verses with me. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So John tells us that Jesus was speaking here with the Jews who had believed him. So many Jews were rejecting Jesus, as we know, in the Gospels. But these were the few amongst the Jews who heard Jesus preaching and were following him. But Jesus wants to help them in this passage understand that true discipleship comes not only just by following him, but by abiding in his word. That's what makes them true disciples. It is when they abide in his word. To be true disciples, they need to continue, they need to remain, they need to dwell in his word. Okay, according to Jesus, faith that saves is not just an emotional response or an intellectual agreement. According to Jesus, it requires a continuous commitment to staying connected to Jesus. A continuous commitment. So true faith perseveres. Faith, false disciples will follow Jesus just for a little while. They will follow Jesus and stop. Those are false disciples. But true believers will remain committed to his teachings, even when it becomes difficult. They will be committed to Jesus. But what Jesus is saying in verse 31, he's only setting the stage for what he's going to say in verses 32. In verses 32, he continues to say that if they abide in his word, it is only when they will begin to know the truth, to see that. And he says that truth they will know when they abide in his teachings will set them free. What Jesus is saying, what Jesus is saying to them is that it is only the only path to true spiritual revelation or to freedom, the only path to true freedom is through submitting completely to his word. That is what is going to set them free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? Not your own truth. It is not your own truth that is going to set you free. It is knowing the truth that will set you free. To use the language that I've been using in my introduction, Jesus is saying, freedom comes from knowing God's truth and not your truth. You will know your truth, the truth that you have come up with, that you have made for yourself, and still be a slave. Because your truth is not going to save you. His truth is what saves. And that's why it matters. That's why it matters more than your truth. And that's why it matters more than any other truth that you know. Your truth is not able to save you. I want you to understand that. It doesn't matter how much you think it's true. It cannot save you. It is not able to give you the freedom from slavery. It is not able to give you the freedom you need. Only the truth of God will set you free. Only the truth of God. To illustrate this point, as I was thinking about this passage, I thought of the conversation that I had with someone who's practicing homosexuality. As I was trying to understand how he found himself living this life, I was trying to ask questions. There were two things that came up as very important to him as the reason why he chose that life. Number one, the very important thing to him was feelings. Right? He says to me, you cannot relate. He says to me, I tried dating the opposite gender, that is woman, but I just don't feel the same connection. It's more about feelings. I feel different if I'm with another guy. So it is true to me because I feel. It's something that I feel. It was the first big thing. He spent so much time trying to help me understand that this is something you cannot relate with because you do not feel like that. It's what I feel. The second big thing was his experience. He says this is very common in how he grew up. In his community, he was well welcomed. In school, and even amongst his friends, he had so many friends who lived this life. So both of these things are big to him. And those are things that helped him to realize that actually God created him like that. And God wants him to live like that. That's what he says to me. But I say to him, respectfully, I say, I respect how you feel. I respect your feelings. And I respect your feelings because I cannot put myself in your shoes. I cannot feel what you say you are feeling. And I also respect your experience, because I know that sometimes our experiences shape who we are. But I just have one question for you. And this might sound disrespectful, but just for the sake of the point I want to make, I ask the question, what is the color of this mark? There's a mark in the table where we are meeting, and it's white. So I'm asking, what is the color of this mark? He says to me, "Duh, it's white." I said to him, I agree with you. I think I agree with you. Before I even finished the sermon, he said, "Yeah, you must, it's the truth." I said to him, "Okay. So just think about it. What would you say if I said to him, if I said to you, I feel like this mark is black?" He thinks about it, he thinks about it. And before he could answer, I come with another question and say, "What would you say if I said, in my growing up, many people that I knew in my family, we thought this cup is black. What would you say?" Thinks about it, he thinks about it. After a while, comes back and say, "Depending on the relationship we have, if we have a good relationship, I will tell you that you are crazy." I say in my heart, I wish I could say the same. But I can't. I keep that thought to myself. But I'm thinking, so I don't know if he realizes the point that I want to make. The fact that you feel it's true doesn't make it true. The fact that it is true in your experience doesn't mean it is true. And I don't know if you see, church family, what is happening here. His feelings and his experience did not lead him to the truth. It did not. It led him to his truth. It led him to what he wanted to believe. He trusted his feelings so much. He trusted his experience so much. And that it misled him. It enslaved him. It never gave him the freedom he needs. Instead of giving him the freedom, it enslaved him. He may not know that he is not free. But the truth is this: he is not free. Question is why? Why is he a slave to his sin? Jesus said, because he doesn't know the truth. Remember, if you do not know the truth, you are not free. Because it is only when you know the truth that you will be free. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So because he don't know the truth, he knows his truth, he knows his experience, he knows his feelings. That misled him, that enslaved him. And as a result, he is a slave to his sin. The sad truth is that he doesn't even know that he's a slave. And maybe that is you even this morning. Maybe you think you are free. Maybe you think you are not a slave. But I want to tell you this. As I said in my introduction, all of us, we think we are holding on to the truth. There's no one who wants to be told that they are holding on to a lie, that they believe a lie. And maybe you are here, you are not free. You are a slave in your sin. Question is, how do you know whether you are free or you are a slave? It's easy. Jesus says it for us. Do you know the truth? If you do not know the truth, you are a slave. If you know the truth, you are free, says Jesus. Question is, what kind of a freedom is Jesus talking about here? What kind of a freedom is he talking about? The fact that when we know the truth, we become free. What is that freedom? It's going to come in our second point. God's truth sets you free from being a slave to sin. It's a freedom from sin. Look at verses 33 to 35. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever." You see that? What we see in these verses is a pushback from these people, from these Jews that Jesus was talking to. When they heard Jesus talking about the truth that would set them free, they responded by saying, they are not slaves to anyone. They are offspring to Abraham and they are free. Isn't that what everyone says in the world? Isn't that what everyone says in different religions when you approach them with the gospel? They tell you, go out there and speak to someone who's a Muslim and say to him, come, Jesus is offering you a freedom. They will say, what freedom are you talking about? I am free. Muhammad Salah has set me free. Go to any religion. Go to those who believe in Shembe. And say, come, Jesus is offering you the true freedom. He wants you to be free. They will laugh at you. They will say, what are you talking about? Shembe has set me free. Go to any religion. People will tell you that we are free. We are free. What freedom are you talking about? And so that's what these guys are saying. They're saying, we are descendants. We are offspring. We are related to Abraham. We know Abraham. Who are you? How come you say we are going to be free when we are free? Do you know us? Do you know who we are? Do you know to know where we come from? My brother, we come from Abraham. We're very special. We are free. Do you see how their truth has enslaved them? They think they are free, but they are slaves to sin. Their truth has enslaved them to a point that they don't think they need freedom. It's what they believe in. It has enslaved them to a point that they don't think they need freedom. But Jesus will show them that their truth is not his truth. He will show them that their truth is not the truth that set them free, or the truth that saves. Listen to what he says in verse 34. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Okay? Jesus is saying to them, you are a slave to your sin. Just get that. Just let that sink into your mind. Because once you share the gospel with someone and they say, no, I go to this religion, they are drawing the line. I'm okay. I'm fine. Jesus says, you are not okay. You are a slave to your sin. You are not free. New Testament scholar, he says this about this verse. He says, there is another kind of slavery than social or economic slavery. Sin is a slave master. And it is possible, even for people who think of themselves as free, to be enslaved in sin. Just think about that. This is the slavery that Jesus is talking about to all of us today. They may have thought that Jesus was talking about social or economic slavery. No, Jesus is not talking about that. Jesus is talking about sin as a slave master. Yes, they are offspring of Abraham. This is true. But this is the truth that cannot set them free. They belong to that family. But this truth cannot save them. Jesus said, if they practice sin, they are slaves to sin. In other words, what Jesus is saying to them, he said, even if you are offspring of Abraham, sin controls you. Because sin controls the human will. It has authority over human will, over the human life. Slavery to sin is the worst kind of slavery that you can ever think about. Why? There is no escape from it. It doesn't matter whether you are rich, you can still be a slave to sin. It doesn't matter you are educated. You have 3 degrees, you have masters, you have honors. You know a lot of things. You can still be a slave to sin. It doesn't matter who you are and where you come from. You can still be a slave to sin. You are not in control. I know that when we are sinning, we often think that we are in control, that we are ruling it. That I can stop doing this at any time I want to stop. No. You are a slave to your sin. Your sin is like a master. You do what it commands you to do. It tells you what to do. And you follow it. You do exactly what it tells you to do. Your sin is your master. You are a slave in your own body. In your own life, you are a slave. Sin is commanding you. Notice what Jesus is saying in verse 5. He says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. This is an example, right? A slave doesn't have rights to stay in the house forever. That is you. A slave can be chased out of the household at any time. That is you in your own body. You are a slave. Sin is commanding you. You do not have a permanent status in your own body. Your sin commands you. It tells you to leave the house if it wants you to leave the house. It tells you to come back at 3 a.m. if it wants you to come back at 3 a.m. It wakes you up at night. It's your master. Call it what you want to call it. Call it a babalas. But it's your master. It wakes you up the next day. It tells you. It commands you. Let's continue where we left off yesterday. You are a slave in your own body. Sin is commanding you. Amen to that. The difficult thing is that, friends, the true freedom from that slavery is impossible through the self-effort. You and I cannot save ourselves. It doesn't matter how hard we try. Your sin will command you. You will fail. Because you cannot set yourself free. You are a slave to your sin. You are a slave to your way of thinking. You are a slave to your experience. You are a slave to your feelings. You make your own truth. That's why you are a slave. Friends, do you see why God's truth matters? Do you see why God's truth matters? Because God's truth is the only truth that can set us free. The only truth that can set us free. Even your truth cannot set you free. Your truth that you come up with will never set you free. We need God's truth in our life in order to be free. We need the freedom. We need the truth that saves. There's so many truths out there, but they do not save. I'm telling you. Just go to the street and speak to one person. The first person you find on the street has something they believe in, has something they think it's true. There's so many things that people believe out there. There are those who don't believe in any religion. Or shocked recently to find out that there are those people who call their parents their gods. My mom, my dad is my God. I just need to respect them. That's it. People believe so many things. They create their own truth they will live with. But it does not save them. God's truth gives you the true freedom. We're going to end with that in our last point. God's truth is what gives you the true freedom. It's going to come in verses 36 to 38. Jesus says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He says in verse 37, "I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen with my father, and you do what you've heard from your father." Jesus says, true freedom from the bondage of sin comes from the Son. If the Son sets you free. Only if the Son sets you free. This is what you need to believe. This is the truth that you need in order to be free from your sins, from the bondage of your sin, from the slavery. That if is conditional. It shows us this is conditional. You can be free only if the Son sets you free. Freedom is conditional on holding fast to the Son, holding fast to Jesus, not to your truth. That's why when we think about Jesus, we don't need to think about religion. Jesus did not come to start a religion. The Son, if He sets you free, you will be free indeed. What you need is the Son, not the religion, the Son. And we know that Jesus is talking about Himself here. He is the one who sets us free from the bondage of sin. In verse 32, He told us that it is knowing the truth that will set us free. Maybe we were not sure what is the truth then that he was referring to? But now we know exactly that the truth he was talking about is himself. When he says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, he says you will know me. He is the truth that sets us free. He is the truth that sets us free. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus is deeply tied to the person of Jesus. The truth is deeply tied to the person of Jesus. The truth is not merely a philosophical concept or a set of facts. It's not an idea. The truth in the book of John is the person. It is Jesus. He is the truth that sets us free. Jesus himself. He is the personification of the truth. 2 weeks ago, we heard from Eric's sermon in John chapter 14, verses 6, Jesus calling himself the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is not just the truth. He is the truth that matters. He's the truth that you cannot ignore. He's the truth that you need. He's the truth that saves. He's the truth that saves people from the dominion of sin. He's the truth that saves people from the fear of spiritual death. It is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and having faith in him that sets us free from the power of sin. But the question is how? How is this possible? How does Jesus defeat sin? How does he do that? So Romans chapter 6 verses 23, it says, the wages of sin is death. The Bible teaches us that Jesus took the penalty upon himself on the cross. The death penalty that we so deserved, he took it upon himself on the cross. He paid the wages for our sin. That's how we defeated sin. That's how sin has no power over him. That's why when we are in him, when we are united with him, we have power to resist sin. Jesus frees humanity from the bondage of sin. It is through his death and resurrection that we are free from sin. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom from the power of sin that wakes you up at 3 a.m. is possible in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He acted as a ransom. As noted in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, that he cancelled the record of debt that stood against us. He cancelled it. Romans 8 says there is now no condemnation for those who believe, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he defeated sin. Sin has no hold on us. This is how Jesus has gained the freedom for us. This freedom is not received through personal effort, friends, but it is through an invitation to accept the finished work of grace. Because of time, I will have to stop here. But I want to ask you, do you know this morning that freedom is found? Freedom from sin. Freedom from the bondage of sin. Freedom from being a slave to sin is found in Jesus. Do you know that? I know that you are struggling with sin. I know that sin has hold on you. I know that sin keeps you awake at night. I know that you are bearing consequences of sin in your life. But do you know that there is freedom in Jesus Christ? He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, come, all you who are weary and heavily laden. I will give you rest. There is rest from Jesus. There is no need to fight sin on your own when Jesus has fought for you and defeated it. Come to Him. He wants to give you the freedom. Whatever that you are holding on to will not save you. Whatever truth that you have, whatever truth you are preaching to yourself, it will not save you from your sin. Sin is more powerful than you. Sin is more powerful than your will. You cannot resist sin on your own. You cannot say no to sin on your own. You need someone who is more powerful than sin. You need someone who has defeated sin. And that is Jesus. Please come to Jesus this morning. Please give your life to Jesus this morning. Jesus will give you rest. He has defeated sin for you so that you do not have to fight sin on your own. He doesn't ask questions. When you come to him, he doesn't ask, where have you been? He doesn't ask how many sins you have committed. Jesus says, come to me. This is an invitation to all of us to come to Jesus with our sins. He wants to give us rest. He will give you rest. Come to Jesus. Even if you are a Christian and you are still struggling with sin, come to Jesus. Continue to come to Him. Abide in His word. Ask Him for forgiveness. Lean on Him. Trust Him. Ask Him to forgive you. He has power to deal with your sin. He has dealt with it on the cross. And He has won victory. Amen to that. We fight sin from victory. He has already defeated it. We fight with assurance. We fight knowing that in the end, we're going to stand with the Lamb, as we will see in Revelation. In the end, we will be singing with Him, Hosanna. Hosanna to the one who is on the throne, because He has conquered and won victory for us. If you are not a Christian, this message serves as a sobering reminder to you that anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. I pray that this morning you would not come into this place as a slave and live as a slave. Please do not live as a slave. Live as a son. Live as someone who is free. Come to Jesus and receive the freedom. Freedom from sin, from the bondage of sin. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for fighting sin for us. Thank you for the freedom we enjoy so much. We thank you for the ultimate victory over sin and death. We find the incredible peace and strength in knowing that you have already fought the battle for us, that you have paid the penalty for our sins, that you have triumphed over the grave. Because of your finished work on the cross, we are not fighting for victory, but we are standing in the victory that you have already accomplished. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the victory of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that you may continue to free many people from the bondage of sin. Many that you know from our families. Many that you know in our neighborhood, at school, at work. Please, Lord, reveal yourself to them. Reveal the real freedom that is realized only in Jesus Christ. And bring many, many more sons and daughters into your glory. Amen.